new safety measures aim to keep the F-22 Raptor flying, TSA to strengthen cargo screening. But a new report says TSA wastes millions of your dollars. This is Aero News for Friday, May 18, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. With safety remaining his top concern, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta has ordered the Air Force to take additional steps to mitigate risk to F-22 Raptor pilots. First, Panetta has ordered the Air Force to expedite the installation of an automatic backup oxygen system in every Raptor. And second, he has ordered that all Raptors remain near potential landing locations to enable quick recovery and landing should a pilot encounter unanticipated physiological conditions during flight. Since 2008, there have been a dozen cases where pilots suffered hypoxia, a loss of oxygen, while piloting the F-22. The Air Force grounded the fleet temporarily, but the exact cause of the problem remains unknown. The situation has developed to the point where multiple pilots have risked their careers refusing to fly the plane. Two of those pilots appeared on CBS's 60 Minutes recently, exclaiming that it's not unusual for Raptor pilots to purchase extra life insurance. The backup oxygen system is due to complete testing in November and will be installed at the rate of 5 Raptors each month beginning in December until the entire fleet has been retrofitted. Officials say Panetta's decision allows the safety issue to be addressed while keeping the aircraft flying. The secretary has also asked for monthly updates on the situation. The TSA announced Thursday that it has set up December 3, 2012, as the new deadline for passenger air carriers to conduct 100% cargo screening on all international flights bound for the United States. This new directive fulfills one of the implementing recommendations of the 9/11 Commission Act. Just like passenger screening, TSA says it plans to implement a more risk-based, intelligence-driven screening process, giving high-risk cargo more scrutiny and lower-risk shipments a bit less. TSA says it has worked closely with other governments, international organizations, and industry partners to increase the security of air cargo without restricting the movement of goods and commerce, and that it will continue to do so. However, a new report released recently by two House committees offers a very critical examination of TSA management and its procurement, deployment, and storage of airport security screening technologies. The report, released last week by the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee and the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, found that TSA is wasting hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars by inefficiently deploying screening equipment and technology to commercial airports. When investigators assessed the situation at TSA's Dallas, Texas Transportation Logistics Center in February, they observed approximately 5,700 pieces of security equipment held at the site. They estimated that the non-utilized equipment had a purchase value of $184 million, in addition to the $3.5 million annual cost to lease and manage the warehouse. The report also found inefficiency in TSA's equipment shipping procedures, found that TSA had tried twice to hide from Congress the disposal of 1,300 pieces of equipment, and may have broken U.S. law by providing inaccurate inventory reports to Congress. The report does make recommendations for improvement, but it was overwhelmingly negative. Transportation and Infrastructure Chairman John Mica, a Republican from Florida, said, quote, TSA continues to demonstrate its penchant for bungling aviation security and wasting taxpayers' money, end quote. While Oversight and Government Reform Chairman Daryl Issa, a Republican from California, said simply, when speaking of TSA, quote, this is not a security operation, but rather a recipe for waste and abuse, end quote. Well, this is not the weekend to go flying and forget to check NOTAMs. NORAD fighters will be protecting the skies during the G8 summit at Camp David, Maryland this weekend. Air Force fighter jets will be on alert during the event today and Saturday, enforcing the FAA's temporary flight restriction during the summit. All aviators are advised to check the notices to airmen as required, with a special focus on TFRs. The reason? This TFR is much larger than usual, 60 nautical miles in diameter instead of 20. And a reminder once again of the TFR for Chicagoland this weekend for the NATO summit, a TFR that authorizes deadly force if you're deemed to be a threat. The U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of New York has approved $74.3 million of debtor-in-possession financing for Pinnacle Airlines. The funding is being supplied by Delta Airlines, which, interestingly enough, will receive an immediate payment from the fund of $44.3 million to repay a previous promissory note that it holds from Pinnacle. The remaining $30 million will be available to fund ongoing operations as the regional carrier tries to reorganize under Chapter 11. At its shareholders meeting on Wednesday, Southwest Airlines said that it would delay taking delivery of 30 Boeing 737-800 airliners that it has on order with the plane maker. The move is expected to save the budget carrier more than $1 billion in capital spending. 20 of those planes were to be delivered next year and the remainder in 2014. Now the deliveries will be made in 2017 and 18. The reason for the deferral? CEO Gary Kelly says the short-term goal is simply to reach their profit target. Wind Aero News continues. NASA is getting ready to take one giant leap toward commercial spaceflight. The Sling gets its SLSA airworthiness certificate. And a group of Bell helicopter employees are singing, "We're in the money."
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Friday, May 18th. I'm Glenn Moyer. After three delays and barring any bad weather or other usual launch day issues, the first U.S. commercial spaceflight is set to launch tomorrow. If all systems are go, SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket, topped by their Dragon capsule, will blast off from Cape Canaveral and head for the International Space Station. SpaceX is one of two companies competing for a contract with NASA to deliver cargo into space, and four are competing to deliver astronauts there. Those manned commercial flights could begin in 3 to 5 years. Should tomorrow's launch be delayed again, May 22nd is the next launch window. The airplane factory's Sling has won its SLSA airworthiness certificate, making it the latest SLSA to come to the market here in the United States. The airplane factory is a South African company building the Sling since 2006 and with more than 60 delivered elsewhere in the world. The first U.S. certified Sling will reside in Torrance, California at the Airplane Factory Incorporated, a sister company of the South African plane maker. The Sling will be available as an ELSA kit or as an experimental amateur built kit. This U.S. registered Sling will also be making an appearance at Oshkosh later this summer. 10 Bell helicopter workers who each pitched in $5 to play the Texas lottery will be splitting a $28 million jackpot, or about $1.6 million each after taxes. The 7 men and 3 women all took a sick day this week to travel to Austin to claim their prize. One of the workers, Mario Mercado, told television station WFAA that since they all work in the same division, it, quote, practically shut down the place, end quote. The close-knit group says they don't expect any squabbling over the money, as they have known each other for years. None have said they will actually quit their jobs due to the windfall, but Mercado said his wife has given notice at her job. Dozens of local flying events are planned for tomorrow, Saturday, May 19th, which will turn dreams of flight into reality during the third annual International Learn to Fly Day. It's an aviation community-wide effort helping people of all ages take that first step to discover the fun and freedom of flight. Local EAA chapters and aviation organizations are leading the way by offering complimentary adult orientation flights tomorrow, helping connect aviators with those who have always wanted to discover flight. These introductory flights for adults are similar to EAA's popular Young Eagles program, which has offered free flights to more than 1.6 million young people since 1992. EAA also encourages other aviation organizations and businesses to join in the effort tomorrow by offering introductory flights, seminars, and open houses at airports and other locations throughout the United States and internationally. I personally will be traveling to Northeast Texas to participate in the first Canton Fly-In at Tailwind Air Park. So if you're driving I-20 between Dallas and Tyler, Texas, keep an eye to the sky for balloons and airplanes, but keep one eye on the road, too. Remember, whether in the air or on the road, safety is always first. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thank you, as always, for listening. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.